Okay, good morning. We are at Siman Samach Aleph Si'iv Vav. Tzarich le'arich b'chet shel echad. All right, we're in Kriyat Shema. When we say the word echad in the first pasuk, we extend, we say longer the chet. Kedei she'amlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shamayim uva aretz. And while we're saying the chet, we have in mind that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of the entire heavens and the land. And there's also an inyan of Chet is Gematria 8, and there's 7 Rekiim Bashamayim and 1 land. So that's also have in mind. Shelezeru mezachatotarot shebeemtze gag hachet. And this is also what's alluded to in the letter Chet. A Chet, we know, is made up of 2 zainin, which is connected with an upside-down V. That's what a chatotarot are. And so that extra chatotarot is to symbolize also b'shamayim. V'yarich b'dalet, and you accentuate and stress a little bit the dalet. In other words, to make sure you say the dalet clearly. It doesn't mean you put an extra tenua or a vowel underneath the dalet. You don't say echad de with a shva or a segol. It's just you make sure you say the dalet clearly and don't leave it out. Shiur she'achshav shakosh baruch hu yachid ba'alamo u'moshel ba'arba ruchot ha'olam. And we have in mind, especially when you say the dalet, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king in all 4 directions, right? Gematria dalet is 4. So we have up and down and all directions. V'lo yarich yoter mikishiur zeh. Don't over accentuate or say it too long. And some also, when they're actually saying the word echad, during those couple letters, they're actually moving their heads in those directions. Zayin, yadgish b'dalet shelo tehe kiresh. Make sure you correctly pronounce dalet so it doesn't sound like a resh. Chet, lo yechtov b'chet v'lo yarich b'alef. Don't say the chet too quickly, and don't say the aleph too long. If you say an aleph too long also, especially if it sounds like a bit of a tsere, it sounds like echad. He's not one. Okay, yud. Kisha kore kriyat shema al mitato. When you're saying kriyat shema on your bed. Tet. Sorry. Asur lomar shema shtei pe'amim. Right, famous halacha. We're not allowed to say the word shema twice. Shema, shema. Or bein shekofel hativot sheomer shma shma, bein shekofel a pasuk rishon, or by repeating this, the first pasuk twice, one right after another, because then it looks like you are saying you're speaking to 2 different deities, 2 different gods. You turn to one then the other, and you're praying to both. So that's what it might look like. So that's what you're not allowed to do. Certainly, this is clearly the halacha if you're doing it out loud when other people can hear it. Quietly to yourself, it's better not to. But what happens if a person says Shema? And as he realized, he just read the first pasuk and he had no idea what he was doing. He was thinking about something else. He had no kavana. So then you definitely do have to repeat it. But the second time, first of all, you can wait a few seconds. The other thing is to say it quietly. Because it's really only a problem of it looks like praying to 2 deities if you say it out loud. You do it quietly. It's not ideal, obviously. It's inappropriate, but you need to do the mitzvah, and you need to say Kriyat Shema with Kavana. So in that case, you would quietly repeat it. Yud. Keshe kori Kriyat Shema al mitato, when you're repeating Kriyat Shema. Mutar likra kol ha-parsha v'lachzor v'likrota. You can repeat the entire parsha again and again. Yesh misha omer shegam bazeh yesh lizeher milomar pasuk rishon. Some say, though, you shouldn't keep repeating the first pasuk. So if you want to just keep on repeating Kriyat Shema to help you fall asleep, just keep repeating parsha after parsha after parsha, but only the first time you say the first pasuk. Every other time you start with V'ahavta. Okay. Also, if you're pausing and taking a little bit of a break, or you're saying other tefillos or other pasukim in between, for sure there's no issue whatsoever. Okay, Yud Aleph. So there are some people who have a minhag to say the pasuk of Shema Yisrael twice in a row. They're doing that b'tzibur, slichot and kippur, and so he says the Shulchan Aruch writes better not to do that because it's again the same problem. But they say it's not the tzad lahakel for those who do keep that, who do have that minhag. He's saying, in other words, the Shulchan Aruch saying it's better not to. But the reason why it's not so terrible is because they're doing it b'tzibur. If everybody's doing it, and that's the nusach hatfilah, nobody's going to think, oh, this tzibur is davening to two gods. Because we all daven only to one God. We all believe only in one God. It's when you have this one person on the side, then that's when there's that chashash. Okay. Yud bet. Hashem hu Elokim she'omrim oto b'yom kippur b'tfilah ne'ilah sheva pa'amim minhag kasher hu. And when you say the psukim Hashem hu Elokim 7 times, that's a minha kasher, and that's for sure no problem. Just as a quick, if you're Ashkenazi, the minhag is to say those three words, Hashem, Hu Elokim, 7 times. The Sfardim actually say it 14 times, because the pasuk itself is double. It says Hashem, Hu Elokim, Hashem, Hu Elokim. That's the pasuk in the Navi, in Malachim. And so the Sfardim say that pasuk 7 times. Okay. Hagah, yesh omrim sheyesh lizeher shelo lanot al shum bracha shtei pe'amim, amen. So, the Rama quotes Das Yachid in the Rishonim. It's actually brought down in the Beis Yosef, but the Rama is the one who brings it out down over here, that you should not answer amen twice. One person says a bracha, you shouldn't say, oh, amen, amen. Just say amen once. So, it could be for the same reason. But the Rav Yosef Karo and Beis Yosef himself quotes this and says he doesn't agree with it at all. It's a das yachid, but also because his proof is we have a pasuk. It says Baruch Hashem le'olam, amen ve'amen. David HaMelech, or it's in Tehillim, that you're allowed to say amen twice. So it could be that the Ramaz, if you say amen, amen, it's not good. But if you say amen ve'amen, then that's okay. So different opinions. But here's an example where the Rama says Yesh Omrim, and it's a machloket. Usually, just a general rule, but it's not a hard fast rule. If the Rama doesn't say Yesh Omrim, he usually agrees with the Shulchan Aruch. If he says Yesh Omrim, usually he disagrees. But again, that's just a very general rule. Each case, to really know, you have to look. Okay. Now it also makes sense that saying Amen twice is not such a big deal, because an amen is just to emphasize or to reaffirm what the bracha was. And if the bracha is correctly, and the guy had in mind to say it to one God, so that's not really a problem. And it's just doubling down and restating the same. Just as an aside, I don't know if we mentioned it yet, pirush hamilim, whenever a person says amen, so the two general kavanas that are popular, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but just to clarify, amen, you are reaffirming the bracha. So if the bracha is more of just a statement, like asher kiddushanu to do a mitzvah, or it's just a bracha of shevach, so then amen is basically just saying, emet, I agree with you. And if the bracha is more of a tefillah in nature, then it's even the more correct kavana when you say amen, it kind of happens naturally, but the kavana is amen ken yihir atzon, that it should come true. But really, you're just reaffirming. Pretty simple. Yud Gimel. Achar pasuk rishon. Tzarich lomar baruch shem kevod malchuto l'olam v'ed b'chashai. So the minhag is, Chazal said, put in baruch shem kevod, that pasuk. It's not actually a real pasuk in Tanakh, but we say this statement, and it's right after Shema Yisrael, but we say it quietly. Why quietly? So famous Chazal is, Yaakov wanted to reveal the cates. If we're in it today or not, we will not discuss. But in the end of times, we're obviously very close, if not in the middle. So when Yaakov reveals, he wanted to reveal the exact specific time. But then all of a sudden, he knew the time. But then the Shekhinah made him forget. So then he got nervous. Wait a second. If I don't know, maybe that means the Shekhinah is leaving me. Maybe why? Maybe my kids, some of them are not so frum, or they're evil, or something's going on. So he got scared. So his children said to him, Shema Yisrael, their father's name was Yisrael, Listen, Abba, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We all believe in Amunah Shleima and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that there's only one, and that he's in control. So when he heard that, he felt so much better, and Yaakov said the words, Baruch Shem Kevod Malchuto Olam Va'ed. So that statement, we can call it a pasuk, but it's not in Tanakh, that sentence was said by Yaakov, not Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not part of the Torah. So, Gemara didn't know what to do. Do we say it or not say it? How can we leave it out? Yaakov said it. How can we say it and include it? Because Moshe didn't say it. It's not part of the Torah. So they said to say it quietly, and that was the pshara then. So that's how Chazal came out with that. Yudalit, tzarich lafsik me'at ben le'olam va'ed v'yahavta. Okay, the next few seifim is just going to be telling you just to pronounce correctly. Be clear and have really small pauses in between many of the words, so that you don't, as if you just mumble the words together and you can form different words which have incorrect meanings. So for example, Yudalit again, you make a quick pause between Va'ed and V'ahavta, kedei lehafsik bein kabbalat malchut shamayim mishaar mitzvot. So here, it's so that you're making a differentiation, it's a different section of your mindset, of kavana. So that's why it's a really short pause, but very short. Veish lehafsik lepasuk rishon bein Yisrael, lehashem, bein elokeinu lehashem hasheni. Also to make a pause in between Hashem elokeinu and Yisrael. So that it should be clearly heard. Ki Hashem shehu Elokeinu, hu Hashem echad. So that it's clear that we're saying Hashem, who is Elokeinu, is Hashem echad. So it's like a unit. Shema Yisrael is one unit, Hashem Elokeinu is another unit, and Hashem echad is another unit. And then you get the right translation as well. V'yesh lahafsik me'ad ben echad l'baruch. To pause for a moment between the word Echad and the word Baruch. Ki ikar kibo machut shamayim hu pasuk rishon. Because the main pasuk is the first pasuk. Baruch Shem Kevod is an add-on, but it's not the main one. But it also has the same, similar status for some halachot. Like if you're walking, we're about to get to it, you pause and stand when you say Kriyat Shema for the first pasuk and for Baruch Kavod, and then you can continue. Tetvav. Tzirich lahafsik bein hayom. You pause between the word hayom and al levavecha, uvein hayom le'ahava, and you pause between the word of hayom and ahava, she'lahava, she'lot yehi nirek hayom velo lamachar. So here it's so that you don't stress that it's only for today. If you put it all together, it might sound like you only mean it for today, but not for future days. Okay? I'm not saying that you for sure will think that way, but that's just to make it a little more clear. Ted Zayin, Tzirich lafsik bein nishba lehashem, to pause between the word nishba and Hashem, kedei lehatim yafeh ha'ayin shelo tehen yirat kehei. Because if you don't pause, then you might lose the ayin and it'll sound like the wrong letter, like a hey. Yud Zayin, Tzirich lehatiz zayin shelo tizkiru. Now you don't have to overdo it. Some people, you hear the zayin for a few seconds, it's not what he has in mind, but just make sure it's clearly a zayin shelo tishtama, shelo lishtama, Tishkiru or Tiskiru. We just don't want to hear a shin or a sin. That's all. You don't have to overdo it on the Zayin. And we don't want to sound like you're doing it in order to get schar. Laman Tiskiru, in order to benefit. We don't do mitzvos in order to benefit. We do it because that's the right thing. And you also want to just clearly say the word, the letter Zayin when you say Uzachartem, and not Uzachartem, that you're paying someone for it. Again, just so that you get the right translation, or that sounds means this right, the right thing. Yet yud chet, yadgish yud shel Shema Yisrael. Make sure you clearly say the yud. Again, doesn't mean you overdo the yud and say it longer. It just means you clearly say the yud of Shema Yisrael. Shelot tibala, doesn't get lost and swallowed up. Shelot tireg aleph, or it doesn't sound like an aleph. V'chen yud v'hayu, shelot lishtama v'ha'u. Because you don't want it to sound like v'ha'u, you want it to sound like a yud. I know in Israel, a lot of people don't have a hey at all. Israelis often, they turn a hey into an aleph, which I believe is completely incorrect. So when we daven, we have to daven correctly. Yutet, tzarich liten revach ben v'chara le'af. Shalat ishtama v'charaf. Right, that means two totally different things. The word is v'chara, af. It means Hashem might get angry. That's not what we want. But v'charaf means to blasphemy or to curse out. And that's completely the wrong translation, and not what we want to say either. Chaf, tzarich liten revach ben teva shetchilata kisof teva shelefaneah. Okay, the examples will make it clear, especially when you have two letters, one right behind the other from two different words, the same letter, you want to make sure you make a very small pause. A pause, you don't have to overdo the pause. And you want to make sure there's a pause so you know that it's two different words and you don't lose the letters, lose one of the words. Such as, b'chol levavcha. The end of one word is lamed and the beginning of the next is a lamed, and there's, you can't turn it into one lamed, it's two different lameds. Al levavchem, saying there, b'chol levavchem. Again, the two lamets. Esev b'sadcha. So here it's a bet and a bet. Now obviously some of us pronounce it as a vet and some of us pronounce it as a bet. There are some people who can pronounce edot, who can pronounce in particular a lot of Syrians. They don't have a vet. Their vet is a bet. So for them this one is very applicable. If in those days, I'm assuming they had a vet in those days, but maybe, I can't say for sure, although I definitely strongly assume that, but it could be even in, there were some kehilas back then also. So maybe it was said for part of Klal Yisrael. Vavatem mehira, that's two mems. Hakanaf petil. And then here again, you have a fe and a pe, but it could be some people will get mixed up. Again, in those days, a lot of people did things by heart. A lot of people had sidurim that were handwritten or printed without any nekudot whatsoever. So not everybody pronounced correctly either. Etchem me'eretz, again, a double mem. Kaf aleph. Sarich bechol aleph. She'achar mem lafsik b'neya. Whenever there's an aleph at the end and then the next one is a mem, you also have to make a pause because it's... Well, there's a funny first example, but anyways, the same idea, just to pronounce carefully. V'maritem otam. So there, here, it's first is the mem and then the aleph. Okay, actually, no, it's a good example. Sorry, v'shartem otam, and then here is again a mem to an aleph. V'samtem et a mem to an aleph. Uritem oto again mem to an aleph. V'zachartem, and then in parentheses, ad, uzachartem et, vasitem et. In other words, there might be more examples. What's so bad? Shalote yehinira kekori motam met. Because if you put them together, it might sound like you're saying the word met, and which is totally not the correct kavana translation. Kaf bet. Af epsuke de zimmer ovat fila tzarich ledat dik bekach. Even when you're saying Pesukei Dezim or Davening, you also want to make sure you pronounce carefully. One should also be careful always whenever they're reading Tanakh. You may be referring to in particular when you're laning and shul, when you're reading the Tzibur. Kaf Gimel. Tzarich ledakdek shelo yarpeh chazak velo yahazek harafeh. So here are some letters, assuming this is referring to a dagesh, with or without a dagesh. Some letters you pronounce them a little harder and softer. Don't mix them up. So there's two different types of a shva, the two dots, one underneath the other. Nowadays we usually call them na v'nad, nach, sorry, na and nach, nun ayin nun chet, and that's what's here. And one of them is passive, you don't pronounce it at all. One of them you do, like nishbe'u. That's a quick word that has both of them, two shvas in a row. One of them is you pronounce it like, you pronounce the letter, you don't pronounce the vowel at all. And the other one is you pronounce it a drop, like a half of a sigil. Nishbe'u. Okay. Kaf dalet. Tzarich likrot kriyat shema. B'te'amim kemo shehem b'torah. You have to pronounce, it's good to say Kriyat Shema, one should say Kriyat Shema, right? Needs to say Kriyat Shema with the proper te'amim, the same way you read the Torah. That's the best way and the way that it should be said. Shulchan Aruch, haga, aval lo nahagu ken b'medinot elo. He writes, that's not the minhag. Mikol makom hamadak tekim machmirim b'kach. But those who are machmir, they do. And generally the minhag of the Ashkenazim, they say it quietly on their own, I don't think they say it with the Ta'amim like the Ramah says. And by the Svaradim, it's usually said by the Chazan with the proper Ta'amim. But it, again, it depends on the Kehila. But it's not read so fancily either. Kav hey, kishi yomaru kshartem le'ot al yadecha yamashmesh betfilin shel yad. When you say that pasuk, when you're mentioning your tefillin shel yad, you put your hand on it. You also touch it a little bit. It doesn't mean you do not move it out of place. Like you basically you touch it or you vibrate it, but you don't move it out of place. When you say with a pasuk uriyitem oto, yamashmish b'shtei tzitziyot shelefanav. Again, you hold your touching or feeling your tzitziyot that are in front of you. It says you don't have to bother with all four. At least ideally with at least the two in the front. Well, many of us hold all four anyway. Once we start saying Mi'arba Kanfot Ha'aretz. Kav Vav. Yesh Nohagim Likra Kriyat Shema B'Kol Ram. We have the minhag. Some have the minhag to say it out loud. Yesh Nohagim Likra T'Balachash. Some say Kriyat Shema quietly, as we mentioned. Agav Mikol Makom Yomru Pasuk Rishon B'Kol Ram V'Chein Nohagim. But everyone should at least say the first pasuk together out loud of Shema Yisrael, and that's the minhag. Siman Samech Bet. Okay. Sif Aleph. Alpha Pisha Mitzvah Ladak Dik Ba'otiyotea, even though there's a mitzvah to clearly enunciate and pronounce each letter correctly. Kira'ah V'lo Dik Dik Behen, if B'di'evid, one was not careful, and some of the words, letters get swallowed up a little bit, you said them, some of the Dagesh and this and that. Yatsa, you are Yotze. Okay, you did the mitzvah. Bet, see if bet. Yachol ikota. Bechol Ashan, you're allowed to say Kriyat Shema in any language, and you're Yotze. Vizeher min yivei shibush shebeoto lashan. But you have to make sure that if you're going to translate it to a different language, you pronounce it, and you use correctly, and you use the correct word for it. It has to be a perfect translation. Vidagdek bo kemo bilshan hakodesh. And you have to also pronounce it very clearly, same rules as lashon hakodesh. Okay. Now, we said in Bechol Lashon, now that's only if you understand that language. In Hebrew it works, you're yotze, even if you don't understand everything in Hebrew. If you're going to say it in a different language, you have to understand every word of that language. And the same halacha applies for tefillah, Birkat HaMazon, Kiddush, Birkat HaMitzvot, Birkat HaMperot, and Halal. It's all mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah. But and the mitzvah min HaMufchar is to always say it in Hebrew. Okay? But again, I'm sure there are some exceptions, especially for individuals, where English might even be preferred for them. Okay. Gimel. Tzarich la'ashmi'a la'ozno ma shemotzi b'fiv. Very important that you have to hear every word that you say when you say Kriyat Shema. V'imlo yishmi'a la'ozno yatsa. But what if you said it too quietly? You can't even hear yourself say, can't even hear yourself. Not because it's people, not because you have kids screaming in the background, just for construction. You just can't hear yourself. You're too soft. So he says, Yatza, you are Yotze. Ubilvan Chiyotzi Bisvata. But it must be that you articulated it. You have to move your lips and air has to come out. So you have to actually be saying it. It could be very, very weak that you can't hear it, but you have to still have a little bit of lips moving and some kind of ruach on some level. And then you're Yotze. Otherwise, that's called Hirhur. It's all in your mind. And the halacha is, you're not, at least lechatchila, and even bedieved, you're not yotze with only listening. We generally paskin hear who are love kedibur dami. It's a big discussion, in particular, what's the Shulchan Aruch's bottom line opinion, and it's a machloket and the Mishonim and the Gemara. But bottom line, we hold, hear who are love kedibur. If you do it only in your mind, you're not yotze. There are exceptions where you should do it behirhur temporarily until you have a chance to repeat it, as we are about to get to. Dalit. Imachman chol ya'ones. Achar shekara kriyat shema b'libo, yatza. Since, if you're in a situation where you cannot speak it, you cannot say it. Let's say you're sick, you're not able to talk. Your mouth is muzzled, you're not able, there's no way for you to speak. You should still think kriyat shema b'hirhor. And then you are yotze. You're yotze because there's no better option. But they say if you later on in the same, if the zman didn't finish and you're able to verbal to physically say it later, then you should definitely repeat it. Now, even when we say you think it in your mind, it needs to be mila be mila. You still have to think it every word by its every word correctly. You can't just think, oh, I'm saying kriyat shema, like half scan a page and say, and it's like you did it. No, no, you can't think that you want to do the mitzvah. You actually have to say each word, even behirur. Same when you say a bracha behirur. Under certain circumstances. Okay, haga. V'af l'chadchila yasa, kein, imhu b'makom she'inu naki, l'gamri v'ini yachol yigan akota mishum ones. Also, if a person is in a place, for example, a beit ha-merchatz, emtzai, in a middle bathroom, where you're allowed to think divrei Torah, but you're not allowed to speak divrei Torah. If you're there and you can't get out, or whatever, you're in some kind of a strange situation of an ones, then Yahar belibo, you think it, ubivad shiloya mako metunaf lagamre, but it can't be in a place where there's actual tzoa or it really smells, because then the asur lahar b'divrei Torah b'mako metinofet, as if in such a place you can't even be thinking divrei Torah. Okay? Okay. Hey, tzarich shaliach tzibur lehashmiya kolo b'shma Yisrael, a person, a shaliach tzibur needs to hear himself say Shema Yisrael as well. It's very important that Shaliach Tzibur says it out loud so that he gets everyone to say it out loud together. Okay, we're going to do just a couple more. Samech Gimel. Okay, Samech Gimel, Aleph. Just a couple more. Koryota mehalech, o omed, o shochev, rochev, agabe behema, o yoshev. Person is allowed to say Kriyat Shema any way he wants. Comfortable, however you want to. That's the halacha. It doesn't matter if you're walking, you're standing, you're sitting, you're lying down, you're traveling. It's always okay. Avalo praktan dainu shepanav tuchot bekarka mushlach al gabo ufanav lamala. Just it can't be a praktan. That's a gaiva. It's totally inappropriate. You cannot say kriyat shema if you're lying flat on your stomach or flat on your back. Haga mechar shekavar shochei vikatir chalam. Aval kore b'hu shochev al tzido. But you are allowed to read Kriyat Shema if you are lying on your side. Hagash shekavar shochev vika tircha lamod. Because you're already lying down and it's a big tircha to stand up. So you're allowed to, well, if you're lying down already, it's okay to do it on your side. V'im haya amor v'im haya bal basar harbe v'inu yachol itapech al tzido. But if you really, really have a big stomach and you can't properly go on your side, or you're sick, you don't feel good. It's good enough just to tilt yourself a little bit on your side, and that shows your kavana, and that's good enough.